Hey guys, welcome to Truth Hurts Radio, here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Website for the Republic Broadcasting Network, by the way, is republicbroadcasting.org. You can go there and check out our new live type chat forum. It's pretty neat. Listeners can type to other listeners while the show is playing live. Even the show hosts, a lot of them anyway, are on there live. You can talk to them while the show is underway. Just go again to republicbroadcasting.org. Any listeners suffering from arthritis pain, or if you know somebody suffering from arthritis pain, Arthralin is the answer for your problem. It's a highly effective natural remedy. And the best part is RBN listeners pay absolutely nothing for a free trial, a free sample, guys. So, again, if you don't have arthritis, you got to know somebody who does. And if you don't, give them a call anyway and get your free sample. And when you find somebody who has it, you can pass it on to them. You can either go to their website, www.321relief.com, or you can call them at 815-259-4552. Anybody who's interested in reading my books, Piercing the Fog of 9/11, The New World Disorder, or my latest one that I've just added, An Alternative View of the Distant Past. And by the way, what we're going to be talking about today is one of the things covered in that book. We're going to be talking today about advanced technology in the ancient world. Very interesting study. A lot of people aren't aware of it, but the ancients were far more advanced than what most people realize and what most people ever will realize. If they just go by what is taught to them in mainstream academia. What we're going to be looking at today is some fascinating ancient textual documents, as well as some archaeological discoveries that is deliberately suppressed in mainstream academia. You think you have a complete education if you graduate with a PhD in archaeology or anthropology or ancient history, you're just fooling yourself. You're not getting a complete picture of the past. In fact, far from it. A lot more went on in the past than what, again, they will ever tell you in mainstream academia. So we'll be looking at that today. Fascinating stuff. It's going to open up a whole new world, create a whole new understanding of the distant past. But anyway, that information that we'll be covering today is found in that book, along with a whole lot of other interesting stuff. It's called An Alternative View of the Distant Past. You can get that book and, again, several others I have available at lulu.com. That's L-U-L-U.com. And when you get to the site, just type in my name, Charles Giuliani, G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I, and you'll see all the titles that that I have available. You can order them in printed format, have them mailed to you, or you can get them in PDF format and download them right there on the spot and have them on your computer. If you're like me, though, I like printed books better because I like books, A, and B. It's a lot easier to read. I hate reading too much off of a screen. It's kind of irritating on the eyes. I just prefer a book. But certainly, if you don't mind reading off a screen, the downloadable versions are much cheaper. But you know, none of my books on there are more than $15 on there for the printed versions. Again, the downloadables are much cheaper. They're about $5-6 each, so it's a pretty good deal. Anyway, so that's our topic for today. And if anybody has any comments, questions, or whatnot during the broadcast regarding this topic, you can just dial in 800-313-9443. And stick with us, guys. Short break. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cartivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cartivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few customers even know such products exist. SFR has obtained this technology that is backed by testing the oil companies have run, yet they don't want you to know about them. This product is made right here in the United States and is not a typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR lasts up to 6 months. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. SFR recently ran this ad, and the response from all over the U.S. was so incredibly strong that we're allowing listeners to receive a free bottle when one is purchased at our regular price of $9.99. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll refund the purchase price and shipping. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. Call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's 888-873-7371 today.
Attention, this is an extremely urgent Republic Broadcasting News Bulletin. If you're interested in suppressed natural cures, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Listen closely. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test an amazing blacklisted herbal product considered to be the single most powerful traditional remedy on Earth. In fact, medical studies in other countries have been conducted on the astonishing effects this rare mineral-like compound has had on arthritis, obesity, energy, memory, and even reproductive health. Yet, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made at this time. However, it is still legal to own this compound, and right now a very small amount is being made available to RBN listeners in what's being called the most amazing and unusual offer ever made on radio. To claim your supply as an RBN listener, simply go to www.blacklistedherb.com. That's blacklistedherb.com. Shipments will be filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you move quickly. www.blacklistedherb.com. Herb.com or call 877-327-0365.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charles Giuliani. Once again, we're talking today about advanced technology in the distant past. I've mentioned this on previous shows. One of the things I've talked about is how the ancients actually knew about electricity. There's no question about that. We have the famous Baghdad battery, or we used to have the Baghdad battery until Iraq War II broke out. And the Iraq Museum, the Baghdad Museum, was raided in March of 2003. That's one of the items that was stolen. Never to see the light of day again unless you go to 666 Wall Street to the Rockefeller Center and ask David Rockefeller to let you view his private collection there in his living room cases. There you will see undoubtedly the Iraq Baghdad battery, along with a whole lot of other treasures that have been stolen over the years through the wars that these big families have orchestrated. Wars give them a nice cover for the little theft games they like to play. But in any case, it's no longer at the Baghdad Museum, but it was in fact a battery capable of producing a 1.5-volt charge. And this is how the ancients, like the Babylonians and the Egyptians, were able to electroplate jewelry. We now know for a fact that's what the ancients did, in fact, electroplate their jewelry. It was a mystery for the longest time how they did it, until this battery and then a few others along with it were discovered in the 1930s. Actually, they were dug up in the 19th century, but nobody knew what they were. They just thought they were pots. That's what they were labeled as, clay pots. But in the 1930s, somebody looking through a back room, you know, was going through some boxes, found one of these things, noticed something unusual about it. So he took the liberty of opening one up, and sure enough, all the components were in there to indicate that it was a battery. You had remains of decomposed, copper coil, an iron rod. You had some dried up bitumen solution for insulation. No question, it was a battery. And so that's just one example. There's many others. I'm not going to go into that today. What I really want to focus on is the ancients' ability to fly and how these flying craft were utilized in war. The fact that they had electricity is interesting enough, amazing enough, but it goes way beyond that. And if you want the details of all this, you can just email me at truthhurtsradio@aol.com, Hertz being spelled H-E-R-T-Z. Just ask for the transcripts of this, and I'll send them off to you. Everything I covered today is in there, as well as some more stuff I won't be covering, like electricity. There's a whole section in here where I talk about the Baghdad battery and a whole lot of other indications that the ancients had electricity. But I'm skipping the first part of this and going right into the technology of air flight, because this is where it gets real interesting. So let's start looking at some of these ancient records, and we'll also look at some, discuss some ancient artifacts, too, that indicate a knowledge of and usage of air flight technology in the distant past. We'll start here with the mention of an ancient Babylonian document called the Helkatha. And here's what it had to say. To operate a flying machine is a great privilege. Knowledge of flying is most ancient, a gift of the gods of old for saving lives. Now here we have mention of air flight, not in the form of, some fantasy, not some, ancient legend flavored with, tales of green elephants with giant horns and pink polka dots. This is not some fantasy being relayed here. Some ancient legends do that, of course. And even those legends have some truth to them, but unfortunately, because they're flavored with all kinds of hyperbole, people write them off altogether. But this document here isn't flavored with hyperbole at all. It's mentioning, as a matter of fact, that air flight was known in ancient times. To operate a flying machine is a great privilege. It's something that only a few were privy to. Knowledge of flying is a most ancient secret, a gift of the gods for saving lives. So there you go. They said it's most ancient. This was known to these ancient people as something that was known to their ancient ancestors. We want to attribute air flight to the Wright brothers, around 1910, the first time that air flight was finally developed by mankind, and only since then now has man been able to take to the skies. But that's not what this document says. How about this next one? This is a Chaldean work called Sifrala. It dates to about 3000 BC, and it gives a detailed account on how to build and fly an aircraft. The text speaks of various parts, such as vibrating spears, graphite rods, and copper coils. And when speaking of flying the craft, the author discusses the subject of wind resistance, gliding, and stability. Unfortunately, many key lines of the text are missing, making any attempt at reconstructing the craft impossible. The clay tablets were found, damaged, incomplete. But the little bit that remains that has been able to be translated is quite tantalizing. Obviously, once again, we have here a record of flying machines, not some fantasy, not relating some fairy tale that, grandfathers used to like to tell their grandkids, with those little made-up stories. This is relating something that was understood to be fact. They were flying craft, and it relates some very scientific-sounding details. In fact, even in modern times, there have been some publications written by scientists, historians, whatnot, anthropologists, who have, on occasion, admitted that they know the ancients had this ability. For example, in the book Feats and Wisdom of the Ancients, it's a Time Life book from a Time Life series, here's what it has to say. Records inscribed on bamboo tablets some 2,000 years old tell of how the Emperor Shu of China, who reigned between 2258 and 2208 BC, built a flying craft to escape his parents' plot to kill him. Not only did the emperor effect a successful flight, the story says, but he also tested a primitive form of the parachute, landing unharmed after his getaway. The quote continues on, 4.5 centuries later, Emperor Cheng Tang is said to have ordered his engineer, Kai Kung Shi, to design a flying chariot, the term still used by the Chinese today to describe an airplane. According to legend, the emperor ordered the machine destroyed after a successful flight so that its secrets would not fall into the wrong hands. That's a very interesting statement, and it's something that repeats itself all over the ancient world, from one country to the next, in ancient records that talk about air flight. And almost every country on the planet in ancient times had such legends, of air flight. And it's very interesting. That same theme keeps reoccurring, as we'll see, the importance of destroying this technology so it would not fall into the wrong hands, hoarding, keeping secret air flight technology. Let me continue with this quote. In the 4th century A.D., the scribe Ko Hung wrote of a flying car fashioned from the wood of a jujube tree that used ox leather straps fastened to rotating blades to set the machine in motion. Ko Hung's description calls to mind a helicopter. Isn't that interesting? Makes you wonder, you know, if some of the modern aircraft didn't actually copy some of these ancient texts, get their ideas from these ancient texts. As we'll see later, that is in fact the case. Some have admitted that, as we'll see. Some modern technologists have admitted to copying or getting ideas from ancient documents. Believe it or not, some of the pioneers of our modern technology were scribes of these ancient texts. And they recognized that the ancients did, in fact, have advanced technology. Anyway, here's another example from an ancient Tibetan document. It states that the knowledge of flying machines, quote, is secret and not for the masses. So here we have another example of the suppression of air flight technology, which, though it can and has been used for good in ancient times, according to these documents, it had great potential to be used for destructive purposes, hence the need to suppress it. And we're going to talk about some of those destructive purposes. You'll be amazed when I read some quotes from ancient documents about how these flying craft were used in battle. In the ancient Chinese chronicle, Records of the Scholars, it is revealed that the Han Dynasty astronomer and engineer Chang Heng constructed a, quote, wooden bird that had a mechanism in its interior which enabled it to fly a distance that is the equivalent of our modern mile. In 468 BC, the Greek mathematician Aktikas made a wooden pigeon that actually flew. Hailed as one of the great wonders of the ancient world, this pigeon was powered by an internal mechanism of balanced weights and a mysterious unknown propulsive agent. All right, guys, pick up there when we get back. Stick with us.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest-to-operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. It's your host, Charles Giuliani, talking today about advanced technology in the distant past. I just quoted from an ancient Greek source in the early centuries B.C. Here's another one. This is from several centuries later. The Greek scientist Hero designed a rotating boiler that had the propulsive effect of a jet of steam. Suspended above a fire, his device spun about as steam shot from out its four nozzles. So he had some type of a hovering craft. Druidic legends speak of, quote, magical machines capable of traveling on land, sea, and air. In the South Pacific, the natives on the island of Panapi tell of how their ancient ancestors were visited by learned, light-skinned men from the West who came in, quote, shining bolts that flew above the sea. These guests were said to perform many great magical works, probably reference to advanced technological feats, on Mangareva, another South Pacific island, the largest in the Gambier Islands. The Aboriginal people there speak of how in ancient times they were visited by, quote, flying canoes with great wings clasped tightly to the sides. These aerial craft are said to have been able to fly as far as the Hawaiian Islands, over 2,500 miles away. Here's another one. Valmiki, an ancient document from India, that dates to the second millennium B.C. proclaims, quote, "The sky chariot is gilded and lustrous throughout. It leaps above the hill and the wooded valley, winged like lightning, covered in smoke and flowing lamps, speedy and round of prow." Once again, you know, does this sound like, you know, these people are fantasizing? Or does it sound like they're actually relating events or you know, things that they had witnessed with their own eyes? These stories are not flavored with fantasy or, you know, hyperbole. And we're looking at legends that span the globe, all over the ancient world, and spanning many different time periods. Here's another one. This is a fascinating document. It's one of the Vedic texts. This is the Ramayana, or Ramayana. It's an ancient Indian epic poem dating from the 3rd century BC, but relating events that date even prior to that time. It describes a double-deckered circular aircraft with portholes and a dome. Fueled by a strange yellowish-white liquid, the craft was said to travel at the speed of wind, attain heights that made the ocean look like a small pool of water, and stop and hover motionless in the sky. This same document further states of these ancient flying craft that they were, quote, "furnished with window compartments and excellent seats." One person named Bhima, according to the text, flew along in his car, resplendent as the sun and loud as thunder. The flying chariot shone like a flame in the night sky of summer. These craft are said to have been able to rise vertically into the air with a whole family on board and with a tremendous noise. Pilots, the text states, had to be well trained before ever being able to sit at the controls. Again, this sounds like a, you know, something you'd read in a modern training manual about modern aircraft. Very detailed. No hint here that they're relating some fantasy or, you know, no talk of ancient gods who flew in these craft. It's talking about regular people flying in, you know, aircraft of intricate, detailed descriptions. Here's another one. The Samaranga Sutradhara, some of these are hard to pronounce, is a collection of texts compiled in the 11th century AD, but again, dating back to a very remote period in India's history. It contains 230 stanzas that describe in detail every aspect of flying, from how the flying crafts were powered to the proper clothing and even the diet of the pilots. What follows are a few excerpts from this text. Quote, "The aircraft, which can go by its own force like a bird on the earth or on the water or through the air, is called a vimana. That which can travel in the sky from place to place is called a vimana by the sages of old. The body must be strong and durable and built of light wood, shaped like a bird in flight with wings outstretched. Within must be placed the mercury engine with its heating apparatus made of iron underneath. In the larger craft, because it is built heavier, four strong containers of mercury must be built into the interior. When these are heated by controlled fire from the iron containers, the vimana possesses thunder power through the mercury." This gets even more interesting, guys. We'll pick up from there when we get back. Stick with us. Short break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Attention, this is an extremely urgent Republic Broadcasting News Bulletin. If you're interested in suppressed natural cures, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Listen closely. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test an amazing blacklisted herbal product considered to be the single most powerful traditional remedy on Earth. In fact, medical studies in other countries have been conducted on the astonishing effects this rare mineral-like compound has had on arthritis, obesity, energy, memory, and even reproductive health. Yet, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made at this time. However, it is still legal to own this compound, and right now a very small amount is being made available to RBN listeners in what's being called the most amazing and unusual offer ever made on radio. To claim your supply as an RBN listener, simply go to www.blacklistedherb.com. That's blacklistedherb.com. Shipments will be filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you move quickly. www.blacklistedherb.com or call 877-327-0365. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny "Did you rob BillGates.com" ads. So let's get serious for a moment. Did you rob BillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? Did you rob BillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want? What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. Did you rob BillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. Got a caller on the line. Before I go to him, let me just finish this quote quick. I guess I got to make a correction, too. Somebody else had called in. I guess the island is Panape. I said Panape. Well, what can I say? These texts don't come with pronunciation keys. So, but let me finish this. This is very interesting. The iron engine must have properly wielded or welded joints to be filled with mercury. And when fire is conducted to the upper part, it develops power with the roar of a lion. By means of the energy latent in mercury, the driving whirlwind is set in motion, and the traveler sitting inside the vimana may travel in the air to such a distance as to look like a pearl in the sky. I got to mention that Isaac Newton once wrote about this latent power in mercury. Here's what he said. Because of the way by which mercury may be impregnated, it has been thought fit to be concealed by others that have known it, and therefore may possibly be an inlet to something more noble, not to be communicated without immense danger to the world. So this ancient text talking about the power latent in mercury obviously knew what it was talking about. As a matter of fact, I've had previous guests on who talked about this, that there is a fuel that has been developed that utilizes mercury. It's in use today. In fact, the Nazis had first developed it. So these ancient texts, I venture to say that the Nazis probably studied these ancient texts, as we'll see later. A lot of people did. Isaac Newton studied these ancient texts and knew that they were onto something. Anyway, before continuing, let's go to Dale in Denver. Welcome to the show, Dale.
Good morning.
What's on your mind, man?
How are you doing today?
Yeah, not bad. Yourself?
Oh, not too bad here. I just want to put my 2 cents worth in here. You know, when you're talking about some of these ancient texts talking about, you know, people having flying machines and stuff, you know, if you look at what they got down there, what is in South America, you got those huge drawings on the ground. I believe
sure, the Nazca planes, yeah.
Yeah. You know, how else would they be able to make those things without somebody?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, modern scientists now are actually finally starting to admit that, how can they not admit? I mean, it's obvious that they did have air flight. But what they're saying now is, well, they probably developed hot air balloons. They're not going to actually admit that they had, mechanical aircraft.
Right.
But at least finally, they're admitting, yeah, they had to. I mean, even with modern surveillance or surveying equipment, you couldn't do it without an aerial perspective. Those things are, in some cases, 60 miles long across the desert floor.
Yeah, and another thing.
And why would you do it anyway?
Yeah.
Why would you do it unless it was going to be seen? You can't see that from the ground. They didn't even know that those things were there until in the 30s, 40s, somebody flew over and said,
yeah,
wow, what is this?
Somebody flew over going, what is
this?
Yeah. And have you ever heard of the magazine called Ancient American?
Oh, sure, yeah, that's a good publication.
Yeah, it's expensive, but, I enjoy picking that up and reading that, just about the stuff, you know, what happened.
Well, you can go on their website, actually, and read their back issues. You don't even have to
subscribe. Oh, you can? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they have a lot of their back issues online.
Go check that out. But, yeah, I just wanted to put my 2 cents worth in here, you know. At least let you know somebody out here is listening.
Okay, excellent.
All right.
Great point. I'm actually going to get into that, or I don't know, I might skip over it now, but I do mention that in my notes here. That's an important point.
Okay, well, that maybe have you send me your transcripts there.
Sure, email me at truthhurtsradio@AOL.com, and I'll send it off to you. Hertz is spelled H-E-R-T-Z, of course.
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot, Dale.
All right, bye.
You bet, bye. Okay, guys, yeah, you know, the point you mentioned is very interesting because not far from there, they've actually found in Colombia, across the border there, they found these ancient gold pendants that look like modern Delta Wing aircraft. In fact, Google it. You can see the pictures. They're all over the internet. Just Google gold aircraft pendants, Colombia. And it's fascinating. I mean, you look at it and it's like, wow, it's obvious. I mean, there's even a seat, you know, in the front for somebody to sit in, and it has a tail fin, and I mean, it looks just like, you know, if you saw it, you'd think it was something modern. You'd never know that the things were, you know, several thousand years old, about 2,500 years old. So maybe these pendants depict some of the flying aircraft that we used to help make the Nazca plane drawings. Who knows? Anyway, in the early 1970s, Soviet explorers excavating a cave near Tashkent in the Ubek SSR discovered a number of conical ceramic pots, each carefully sealed and each containing a single drop of mercury. A description and illustrations of the mysterious pots were published in the Soviet periodical The Modern Technologist. Now, that's not unusual. Such things have been found, actually, in Mexico from the ancient Maya and Olmecs. They also had clay pots which contained, they found them to contain balls of mercury. What were they doing with pure mercury? Well, interestingly enough, they have their own set of legends about flying aircraft as well. Makes you wonder. It may be that the hidden power of mercury that the ancients utilized has been rediscovered, as I mentioned a moment ago, in modern times, but that the knowledge of it is being suppressed. Wikipedia has an article about red mercury. If you type in red mercury, and you'll see the Wikipedia site pop up, I won't take the time to read it here, but look it up, guys, and read it. It's very interesting. It looks like this technology has been rediscovered, but, you know, like so many other things, they're not letting it known to the general public, but it has been utilized as a form of fuel. So, you know, this latent power hidden in Mercury that the ancients were talking about, once again, it's not fantasy. They knew something about Mercury as a fuel, and they used it for their flying craft. In the 8th century AD, the Mahavira of Bhavahuti, wow, these are hard to pronounce, recorded that, quote, an aerial chariot, this is India, of course, an aerial chariot, the Pushpaka, conveys many people to the ancient capital of Ayodhya. The sky is full of stupendous flying machines, dark as night, but picked out by lights with a yellowish glare. In Nepal, a 12th century document known as the Buhasvaman Brithat Kathar, oh boy, I won't even pronounce that last word, that's really bad, Shlokashmagaraha, whatever. Once again, if you want to get the proper spelling of this, it is spelled correctly, I just can't pronounce it, just ask for the transcripts, I'll send it off to you. This document contains a written tradition of unknown age. It was first published in Europe in 1908. It tells the story of Rumanvit, the servant of a king who desired to travel throughout the earth in a flying vehicle. In order to satisfy his master, Rumanvit commanded the court designers to construct the needed flying apparatus, but they informed him that they were unable to do so. They knew the workings of many machines, they declared, but the secret of flying machines was known only to the Yavanas, whoever they were. The story of Rumanvit ends with the appearance of the Yavanas from the west, who finally fulfilled the monarch's wish and actually took him on a journey in the heavens in one of their flying craft. So again, there's no hint here that this is some fairy tale or some tale of the gods. It's relating real people and real aircraft that we used for air flight. Coming back to the Ramayana cited a few minutes ago, we find that reference is made to a seven-story Vimana, the mother of all ancient aircraft, if you will, which was known as a Pushpaka Vimana, there you go. The text refers to it as a great aerial mansion, which was decorated with pearls and diamonds. It was also said to have been featured with artistic windows made of refined gold. Isn't that interesting? Windows made of refined gold. You might recall that astronaut visors have been coated with transparent gold. How would the ancients have known that refined gold is transparent? Once again, are these fantasies? How could they possibly have known that in the ancient world? There's an Egyptian wooden bird, guys, that was found dating to 200 BC in an Egyptian tomb. Again, it looks just like a modern aircraft. It even has what appears to have been an engine attached to it. You know, it's broken off. It's now lost. But it flies. It's actually been thrown in a padded room so it wouldn't break. But they tested it. It's perfectly aerodynamically designed. And some would say, oh, it was just a toy. Well, perhaps it was a toy. But just like today, we make toys modeled after real things in the real world, right? Large-scale objects. Perhaps this is a toy model of a real aircraft, because the Egyptians had their share, plenty of them, in fact, of ancient legends talking about air flight. Interestingly, there exists, we were talking before about the the Nazca drawings and, you know, the gold pendants of airplanes. There actually exists an ancient set of drawings on some pots, too. Several drawings on pots from the Nazca people of birdmen flying through the air. So, again, was this a fancified, stylized version of what was known in ancient times, you know, that man had flown? That whole area is loaded with birdmen legends. Did they call them birdmen because they were so amazed that these people had the ability to fly and didn't know how else to describe it? And then it became, you know, a fancified legend later on, but did it actually relate something that, you know, was of a scientific nature and not just some fairy tale? You'd almost have to answer that in the positive when you look at the Nazca drawings, for example, not to mention the gold airplanes, you know, the pendants. There exists, guys, an ancient Assyrian cylinder seal now housed in the British Museum, which portrays a winged disc hovering in the air carrying three seated human occupants. Again, is this fantasy? Is it fairy tale? Or are they relating something that was known to have existed? Coming back to ancient Egypt for a moment, we find on a ceiling beam of a 3,000-year-old temple at Abydos several unusual carved features which look like modern air and sea craft. The aircraft featured on the beam look remarkably like modern aerodynamically designed vehicles. There's a helicopter, complete with propeller. There's a blimp and a glider, all three of which contain a tail fin. The sea craft looks very much like a submarine. Again, Google that, Abydos Flying Craft, A-B-Y-D-O-S, and you'll see the pictures of it. You'll see what I'm talking about. Fascinating stuff. During the reign of Pharaoh Thutmose III, around 1450 B.C., there were seen multiple circles of fire hovering over the skies of Egypt, which measured about 5 meters in size. The sighting is known to us from an ancient papyrus which states, quote, in the year 22 of the third month of winter, sixth hour of the day, the scribes of the house of life found it was a circle of fire that was coming in the sky. It had no head. The breath of its mouth had a foul odor. Its body was one rod long and one rod wide. It had no voice. Their hearts, or the hearts of the scribes, became confused through it. Then they laid themselves on their bellies. They went to the Pharaoh to report it. His Majesty ordered an examination of all which is written in the papyrus rolls of the House of Life. His Majesty was meditating upon what happened. Now, after some days had passed, these things became more numerous in the skies than ever. They shone more in the sky than the brightness of the sun and extended to the limits of the four supports of the heavens. Powerful was the position of the fire circles. The army of the Pharaoh looked on with him in their midst. It was after supper. Thereupon, these fire circles ascended higher in the sky toward the south. The Pharaoh caused incense to be brought to make peace on the hearth, and what happened was ordered by the Pharaoh to be written in the annals of the House of Life so that it be remembered forever. Regarding this text mention of these circles of fire shining more than the brightness of the sun, it's interesting to note that the Ramayana talks of certain flying craft that were, quote, resplendent as the sun, which I cited a few moments ago. Isn't that interesting? Were there Indian craft flying over ancient Egypt? Alexander the Great's army, incidentally, while crossing a river into India in 329 BC, saw, quote, two silver shields in the sky, that dove repeatedly toward them, causing great panic. Later in 322 BC, when Alexander was besieging Tyre in Phoenicia, another flying shield, moving in triangular formation with smaller shields, had appeared. Supposedly, the larger object shot beams of light at the city, shattering its walls and other defenses, at which time Alexander's army, quickly taking advantage of the situation, seized the city. The objects then disappeared, we're told. These shields, guys, could very well have been Vimana. Very interesting, isn't it? Notice, he was in India when he first encountered these things. All right, guys, short break. Be right back.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
All right, guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. Your host, Charles Giuliani, continuing talking about ancient air flight technology and how, in a moment, we're going to be discussing how it was used in warfare. But before we do that, let's look at one other interesting ancient document written by a Roman author, Julius Obsequens. He's believed to have lived in the 4th century A.D., and in his work, Prodigorium Liber, he drew on several ancient sources such as Livy. And in this work, Amongst other things, he described three historical sightings of flying craft, like what we were just discussing that, Alexander the Great and his men had seen, in their journeys in India. And we read from an ancient Egyptian document which described these same sights. Here's what he had to say. One of the sightings occurred in 216 BC. He said, things like ships were seen in the sky over Italy at Arpi, east of Rome. A round shield was seen in the sky. Remember, this is what Alexander the Great had described seeing. At Capua, the sky was all on fire, and one saw figures like ships. Here's another description. This one was in 99 BC. When C. Marius and L. Valerius were consuls in Tarquinia, there fell in different places a thing like a flaming torch, and it came suddenly from the sky. Toward sunset, a round object like a globe or round or circular shield took its path in the sky from west to east. And here's the final, third and final one. This is in 90 BC. He said, in the territory of Spolentium, north of Rome, a globe of fire of golden color fell to the earth, gyrating. It then seemed to increase in size, rose from the earth, and ascended into the sky, where it obscured the disk of the sun. With its brilliance, it revolved toward the eastern quadrant of the sky. So, again, you know, some people say, oh, it must be a UFO from outer space. Why from outer space? Why not from right here on Earth? We've got enough evidence in ancient documents and some archaeological records as well that the ancients had flying craft. Why does it have to be from outer space? In more recent times, the 13th century AD, Friar Roger Bacon made an interesting statement indicating that flying craft were actually being made and apparently were witnessed flying about in his day, and that these flying craft, these contraptions, were known from ancient times. Here are his exact words. He said, flying machines such as these were of old and are made even in our days. Interesting. Also worthy of our attention here are two high-tech-looking flying craft that are pictured in a fresco above the altar at the Visotski Dečani Monastery in Kosovo, Yugoslavia, which was painted in the year 1350. If you guys want to look at these, again, just email me. I'll send you the transcripts, and you can Google this and look at the pictures of them yourselves. Very interesting stuff. You know, are these pictures of flying craft that Bacon described? Apparently so. All right, guys, when we get back, we're going to talk about how these ancient aircraft were utilized in battle. It's going to get real interesting. You don't want to miss this. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Since 1988,